Always great to be joined by the outstanding, I don't care what the sport is, Brandon Gowden. First of all, my friend, it is wonderful to hear you on the other end again.
I know, it's been too long, and we don't get to see each other as often as we once did, but I hope you're doing well, friend.
Yeah, same here. Everything's going well. I want to ask you about the Braves situation. I want to go there first because that's what's taking you down there, a spot that you earned. What has it been like to be, for the last couple of years, around a Major League Baseball team almost every day in the summer?
It's been awesome. You know, I've been very fortunate to have the chance to call football, basketball, and baseball, and that's what I wanted to do since I was 6 or 7 years old growing up in southern Indiana. But at that time, when I was growing up there in the late 80s and early 90s, Braves baseball was on TBS every night. And Steve, I know you remember that well, and that's how I kind of fell in love with not only broadcasting, but baseball. And so the Braves became my team. And then you fast forward 3 decades later, last year when that job opened up, I always told myself, you know, I was enjoying doing the stuff for Fox and Big Ten Network, and I'm thankful to still have the chance to do that on the side. But I always told myself if there was a quote-unquote team job that was really appetizing to me at the pro level, it would be the Braves because of my longstanding ties to them as a fan. And when that job opened up, I was fortunate enough to get it, and now 2 years in, it's been phenomenal. It's a phenomenal organization. It's a great team last year, a team this year that had a lot of stars that have been injured, but still right now they're in the spot of being in the playoffs. And so it's been a really wonderful and rewarding 2 year run so far.
Okay, so I'll give you a Skip Carey story. All right, you'll love this.
Okay.
I think they're playing the Giants out in San Francisco, and I'm watching the game. Like I said, you and I grew up watching Braves games on TBS. And he has to do a promo. And he says, well, as soon as whomever it is at the plate hits into a 6-4-3 double play, it'll be the outlaw Josie Wales. And the very next pitch, grounder to short, 6-4-3. Eastwood is next.
He was the best, man. And look, I'm biased because that was the voice of my youth. But there was something about his style and his mix of humor and that very dry humor that he had that I just found it so entertaining every night.
So I want to ask you about this. The mixture of analytics with gameplay and stories, what kind of balance do you try to strike with that? Because to be honest with you, a lot of fans aren't really in tune with a lot of the analytics either.
Yeah, I kind of gear more towards stories for what you and I do for baseball specifically.
Yeah.
I think that bringing the people and the players to life, that tends to ring truer with the viewers than too many numbers. I try to stick to the bigger numbers, kind of like the old school guys do. Batting average is still big for me. Home runs and runs driven in, I still think those are the three that, for a viewer, okay, 20 homer, 60 RBI, and you're in the middle of a season. Okay, I can sink my teeth into that. That's easy to digest. Yep. I think sometimes you can go too over the top with some of these numbers and the letters next to the number that people have a hard time grasping. Okay, what did you just tell me right there? I understand you gave me a little bit of information, but I don't exactly know what it meant. So I tend to go bigger picture numbers, Steve, and then I gear more towards stories. And I do think that baseball lends itself well to that mixture because you do have the extra time, even with a pitch clock and the game moving quicker. I think it has time to lend itself to those stories more.
Yeah, never tell a story, though, with two outs. I mean, that was always the Vin Scully thing. Never tell it with two. But it's interesting you bring that up because that's what I was talking about with my broadcasting class today. I said, remember who you're broadcasting to. Remember, it's got to be stuff they can relate to. You're not trying to impress everybody else with what you're trying to do, okay? So I said you got to think about that. What do they know? What can they sit back? And they can relate to homers, RBIs, doubles, triples, things like that. That's part of the game to them.
Yeah, and I always say this too, Steve. You're never going to be able to hit 100% of your audience.
No,
even
no.
When Jim Nance is calling the Super Bowl or Joe Buck, there's always going to be a couple basic football numbers that there's going to be somebody watching that they don't even understand that. And that's okay. You can never cover 100%. Right. But I think where you get into trouble is when you're relaying stuff that only 10 to 15%.
Yeah.
And so I always say, try to hit the sweet spot, the stuff that most of your audience can grab onto. It can't, if it's something like number that, the way that number makes, but that puts him in the top 2% of hitters. And then they can at least say, okay, well, that's really good. And look, I have not perfected it by any stretch of the imagination. I'm sure, like you, still listen to a ton of games and try to say, okay, what does this person do that's better than what I do that maybe I could do a little bit better, and try to incorporate that into my broadcast.
Okay, Eli Gold, who did Alabama for decades, he and I were talking a couple of years ago, and because I do football, basketball, baseball, just like you do, and that's what Eli did for many years until he finally, at the end, zeroed in on football. And he said to me, he says, Steve, and I agree with this completely, the change in sports keeps me fresh. Does that apply to you?
Oh, yes. Are there a lot of commonalities in all three? 100%.
Yep.
But the prep for a football game versus a basketball game versus a baseball game, for me, they are three completely different processes.
Yes.
And I think calling the games, it's three different cadences. Football, you have so much going on. There's 22 guys out there. Players are flying around on every snap, and you've got to keep track of what all is going on. And sometimes they'll go up tempo, especially in college. Sometimes they'll slow it down, and you've got 20 seconds in between every play. So that really keeps you on your toes. Basketball is boom, 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 boom. But the pace of it, you know what you're getting, and you're pretty much getting the same thing on every possession. And baseball, even with a pitch, is that slower time to be able to incorporate more story, more personality, more back and forth with your analysts. I say that there are three different tap dances. It's all tap dance classes that I love to attend, but it's not one size fits all, Steve, and I know that you agree with that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you along the way, and I think it's the varying paces that keep you fresh, and that to me is a big part of it. And the preparation is different for each one of them, without question, and especially baseball. There's a lot of stuff you can put together, but, for example, I pretty much know the starting lineup for this week's game. I don't know the batting order for tonight's game. I mean, I've got it's my West Virginia week. I got State College West Virginia tonight, then I got Penn State West Virginia coming up, and I have no idea what the batting order is, but I have a pretty good handle on the starting lineup for Penn State on Saturday. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of little nuances like that, and you know, when I do football, I think one of the toughest things is, like I was talking about, the different paces that the teams play with and all the players flying around. But I love that. It's a different challenge, and then you go to basketball and everything just speeds up on you. And I try to tell myself, okay, even though they're going really fast out there, if you talk too fast, your viewer gets overwhelmed or your listener gets overwhelmed. You still have to control your cadence and deliver the message and speak clearly. And yeah, I think going to season, it's kind of a fresh start, if you will, with each new sport, and it does keep you kind of on your toes for all these different things that come your way.
The Madden part of it is interesting because I was talking with Drew Aller, KJ Winston, and Tyler Jasansky, three football players today, and I brought up the EA Sports game that they're in. And I asked them, I said, what's it been like racking it up there and you see yourself? And Drew said, I don't look anything like that guy. They said it was a little different and a little weird. You've done Madden forever. Well, it seems like forever, but, you know, a long, long time. How many people stop you and they hear you talk and they mention Madden to you?
It's less so that they're stopping me because most of them don't know what I look like. Some do, but not many. It's more so when I'll just randomly be in an Uber in Minneapolis and I'll start in a conversation with them, and it'll be a young guy usually, and my name pops up, obviously, as their writer is Brandon, and in sure. The course of conversation they'll say, wait, do you do the video game? And that doesn't happen a ton, but when it has happened, that's usually the thing. I will say it's been 8 years now since I've done it, and that is always the first thing that anybody that wants to talk about my profession, that's always the first thing they want to discuss. It's not, it's not the Penn State game I did last week or the basketball game I did 2 weeks ago, or it's never that. It's always, so what all goes into that Madden video game? So it's, you know, it's cool. It's been an honor to do it. It's something I never in a million years thought that I would be doing. It wasn't even on my radar. But it's been great, and you know Charles Davis, the analyst, he's as good as gold. And to be able to work with him over the last 8 years has been the cherry on top of everything.
Is there a nicer guy in the business? I mean, really?
Maybe you, Steve. Maybe you.
I don't know about that. I mean, but Charles Davis, like, you want to talk about a gold standard guy. Holy mackerel. How much has it helped you that you have a home studio with all the changes Madden will give you in a week?
Oh, my gosh. So pre-pandemic, so when I started doing the game, what, 2016, I think it was, so we would go to Orlando every week. We would record. So I would do a football game either on Saturday or Sunday, whether it was college or NFL. Monday morning, I'd take the first flight down to Orlando. We would record Monday from 10 to 3 and Tuesday from 10 to 3, and then I would take the last flight back from Orlando to Atlanta and then start prepping for whatever I had that next weekend. Mm-hmm. And it would get a little tougher during the basketball season because then you're doing two or three basketball games and trying to fit those Orlando trips in between. So it wasn't the work itself, and recording wasn't the challenge, right? Like, it's better than digging ditches for a living, so I'm not complaining about that at all. It was just the logistics of, can I get there on time? Will my flight be delayed? That was the headache. So when COVID happened and they put a little mini studio in each of our houses, it just made it so much more freeing, so that I know if I've got a recording studio on a Tuesday morning and I've got a flight out of Atlanta Hartsfield Airport that night, I don't have to worry about getting anywhere in between. I can just do my session from 8 to noon, have lunch, get my bags packed, and go to the airport. So from a logistics standpoint, it just made everything a lot more freeing.
Yeah. I mean, no question about that. Now, do you have to follow the exact script they give you, or do you have any poetic license liberty because of your style, or you know that's the right way to call it?
Well, the guy who writes the script, Ed Brady, he used to do MLB The Show for a long time, and now he's done Madden, and he's also the lead on the college football game. He does a really good job. It's not easy because all the lines are short lines that are then stitched together to sound like longer lines. So it's very difficult for him to write the game. But I pretty much, because of the parameters and I know the guidelines they've got to stick to, when I'm doing my play-by-play only portion, I will pretty much just read verbatim what he wrote. When it's Charles and I, they will just put in their suggested bullet points, and they give us a lot of leeway to go back and forth. They want us to laugh, to step on it. They want it to sound natural, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where they give us the leeway to be a little less robotic.
You have to work with it. See, now, this is a major advantage I have. When I do baseball, I'm with a guy named Joe Putnam, who's terrific. When I'm doing football, it's with Jack Ham. When I'm doing basketball, it's with Dick Girardi. Right? So I'm with the same people all the time. You have to switch up all the time in terms of who you are working with. What does it take for you to get used to their cadence, their style, and so forth, when you have to make so many changes during the course of a year?
Yeah, so I will, if it's somebody I'm working with for the first time, and now that's pretty rare because most of the guys, whether it's during basketball or football, or certainly now with Braves baseball, there's four or five of them, and I've worked with all of them enough. But if I'm going in and I know that I'm going to work with somebody new, I will get a tape of two of their broadcasts, and I will go back and I will listen and just really try to hone in on their style. Okay, when do they like to jump in? When do they like to be silent? Do they like to be prompted? Do they usually jump in unprompted? And I try to, okay, at least make a few mental notes going in so that I can do my job to set them up in the spots that they want to be put in. But most of these guys, I mean, you know, Steve, when they're doing these games at the college or pro level, these analysts are usually very polished. They've done it before. They're easy to work with. They're just tremendous at what they do. And so that makes our job a lot easier of trying to drive the bus, if you will, and take them to those spots. So, you know, knock on wood, I really, and I'm not just saying this to save face, I have not had a bad analyst experience.
No, that's right.
I really haven't. I've had guys that have been wanting to go back and forth, that have asked questions, that have wanted to learn, that I've wanted to learn from them. And so it's been a really good give and take.
I've got to ask you about the Braves themselves. As you hit the stretch run, what kind of blow was it when Acuna got hurt, and what kind of blow was it when Spencer Strider got hurt?
Yeah, so for those listening that don't follow baseball much, I mean, you're talking about the reigning MVP in Ronald Acuna Jr. tears his ACL for the second time. Strider was one of the odds on the Cy Young. He gets hurt the first month of the season. So two horses, and since then, and just injury after injury, all told this year, the Braves have had six All-Stars that have missed at least 2 months. So overcome. So when you throw all of that in, for them right now to be 12 comfortably wild card spots, even though the Phillies in the East, one of the managing jobs of Braves manager Brian Snitker has done in his nine seasons. Now, they're still on the baseball. They could fall flat on their face and not get in. I don't think that's going to happen. That's not what I want to happen. But I think what they've been able to do in overcoming all of these injuries has been pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I think so, too, because, I mean, there's a lot. It's a really good, deep lineup, but those are two critical guys in the rotation and obviously in that lineup that would make anybody better. Now, I know there's, I think, what, in the end, there's 13 games with the Phillies because it's a divisional rival.
Yes.
So let me ask you, in the times you've seen the Phillies, what have you thought of them?
So the Phillies have obviously stubbed their toe here over the last 6 weeks. I mean, for the first half of baseball, there's no question they were the best team. Yeah. I know the Dodgers have a lot of firepower, the Yankees too, and I know those are two sexy franchises. But if you stopped at the Midsummer Classic and said, okay, what team through the first half played the best, it was the Philadelphia Phillies. Mm-hmm. I think the version of them that is real is probably somewhere in the middle. I think that they're one of the best teams in baseball. They have so much talent. And what the Braves, I think, have struggled to match in the last two postseasons with the Phillies is the Phillies just kind of have that Philly attitude of, we're going to go out there and we're going to beat you. We don't care who's on the other side. Push comes to shove, we're winning that baseball game. And I think that attitude has really played well for them in those series against the Braves. Now, for them, it obviously hasn't translated into a World Series title, but I still think, you look right now, no team in baseball is running away with this. What you have is a bunch of, I think, good teams, not great teams, and it's who's going to play great at the right time, and that'll be interesting to see. But that four-game series coming up that starts tomorrow between the Braves and the Phillies in Philadelphia, yeah, I think that will ultimately go a long way to deciding who wins the NL East, because right now the Phillies, six games up, there's no doubt they're the favorites. And if they would split or certainly take three or four games, I think they would put the Braves so far behind the eight ball that it would be hard for Atlanta to recover.
Final question for you, Brandon. I appreciate all the time, as always, my friend. And that is, I had not been in Atlanta for a little bit, and then I came in to do the Peach Bowl, and it was really different going by where Turner Field had been and Fulton County Stadium had been, and now Georgia State plays football there, because the Braves are now out in Cobb County. You've obviously come on board since they've gone out there, but how have they felt about, as an organization, about the move out of the downtown area to the suburban area?
I think ideally they would have been able to stay downtown. It just didn't work out. And that was, as you said before, my time when they made that move in 2017. But what I can speak to is how successful they have been in Cobb County in the northwest suburbs. And the reason is because they found a big plot of land for not very much money, and they said, we are going to make this a destination. Not only are we going to put the ballpark up, we're going to put shops and restaurants, and we're going to have a hand in all of the revenue that not only comes in via the tickets, yeah, but also the merchandise and the stuff outside the ballpark in these shops and bars and restaurants. It was a really smart thing. It's a thing that a lot of professional sports teams are starting to go to, and the Braves were kind of on the front end of that. And they are really reaping the benefits. It has been a huge success. There are a lot of Braves fans, because of the TBS days, that will kind of make a pilgrimage to come to Atlanta for a series in the summer and go to that battery area that it's called around the ballpark, mm-hmm, and eat and drink and be merry and spend a lot of money. And all of that goes to the Braves. And so it's been a raving success. I think anybody that you ask for the Braves organization would tell you that.
Well, the unfortunate thing is we don't get to see each other often enough. I just appreciate the fact that you gave us some time today, and we will talk soon, I hope.
Always, my man. Look forward to seeing you during hoops if I don't see you before, and good luck with the football season.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it. Brandon Gowden, I'm one of the best in the business. I don't care if it's football, basketball, baseball. He is outstanding. This half hour, being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Neil Coolong still to come on today's show, I do believe, as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.